So now he starts off, he closes it. So he starts off now in Chav Zayin with another point, okay? Another Indian where Torah's level is on a different level than mitzvahs. So yesterday we spoke about the difference between Torah and Tefillah in the sense that Torah is deeper, etc. Now he says like this, V'odzos, Yisera Erech V'yisron Kedushasa HaNeira Me'ha'ilamas. The Kedusha of Torah hits a point which does not hit, the other mitzvahs do not hit. Ki ha'el yoinim, af she kedushasam rabba ma'oid. When, some of what we're going to say tonight, I don't really 100% grasp, but we're just going to say it the way he says it. The koch of mitzvahs are very, very spiritual koiches. Very tremendously powerful, holy koiches. And for us to let that koach into the bria, we perform the mitzvah. So for example, let's say there's a spiritual koach called lulav. Okay? There's a spiritual force in the bria called lulav. And that force brings wind, brings whatever kochos lulav brings to the world. Okay? So now, how do you bring that koach out into the world? You got to tap into the koach of lulav. How do you do it? Perform the mitzvah. But the koach of lulav in the bria is not a green stick with hadasim and aravis. It was a much more refined spiritual koach. As it comes into this world, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu used that koach in this world, it took on a physical form, and now you take the lulav. So there's a correlation between taking the lulav and the spiritual force that taking that lulav expels into the bria or connects to the bria. But what happens is that you're not really connecting to that spiritual koach up there. Because think about it, the lulav itself has no kedusha even. Has no kedusha. It's tashmishei mitzvah. And when you're finished, you could throw it away. There's no kedusha to a lulav. You do the mitzvah and that's it.
Right.
So the kedusha, the mitzvah, becomes a very physical reality in this world. Because in order for us to touch it, to touch the koach of the mitzvah in the bria, Hashem had to make it manifest in a physical way. So that's what he says here. Av shekedushasam rabba me'od, it's a very kadosh, shoresh. When it became, when it rolled into the world, and when it came down and cascades into the world, even though whenever something goes from one world to the next and it becomes a little more physicalized, it still retains in it the neshama, the core spiritual connection that it had before. It's exactly the same tzura on some level. Everything's connected. But still, at the end of the day, he says, the form of the mitzvah in this world is much more physical than the form of the mitzvah in the Olam HaSelyonim. You can't compare the way the lulav is in this world and the spiritual force of lulav the way Hashem created it. It came so far that in this world it became chulin. It's not even kadosh. She'anu noyim mehim min hakhol, right? So that's what a mitzvah is. And by the way, this is one of the dangers of like Shabshai Tzvi and all these things, is that they felt like, hey, I can tap on to the koch of the mitzvah and I can somehow circumvent actually doing it. And it's kind of the opposite. Doing the mitzvah itself is almost a cop-out. I should lower myself to doing a mere act of taking a physical item and using that for my mitzvah. I'll circumvent that. I can connect to the spiritual force behind that. And that's a much more higher level Kedusha. Which, by the way, like we said before from Chaim Volozhiner, before the Torah was given, possibly that was the way to serve Hashem. The Avos, it says Avraham Avinu fulfilled the entire Torah before it was given. That doesn't necessarily mean that he actually took a lulav. It means every inyan in the Torah he fulfilled by not understanding what was the tikkun that mitzvah was supposed to accomplish, and he knew how to accomplish it. But once the Torah is given, you can't do that anymore. Once the Torah is given, you got to follow the rules, right? That's the koach of mitzvahs. However, there's one exception. And if you've been following along this far, you probably know what that exception is. Omnam, HaTorah K'daysha, learning Torah is not like that. Av shegam hinishtal shalom, v'yardom imakor sharsha elyon b'kodesh. The way we have Torah is not exactly the way the Torah is in the upper worlds. It's not exactly. Madrigus in shir, me'olam le'olam, it still lowered itself as well. Im kozeh, however, k'tushas ha'rishayna k'mo shehu b'makor sharsha, reish is darko b'kodesh k'dekoy koy gam b'zeh olam. There is a way to connect to the original force of the Torah in this world as well. Shekula kodesh, va'aser linig ba'minag chas v'shalom. Shegama ha'hirher b'divrei Torah, aser b'makom mesem etunafim. So he says a fascinating thing. He says, Torah exists in this world in a non-physical way. Torah can exist in this world in a non-physical way because if a person thinks in learning, they're not allowed to think in learning, even in the bathroom. So you say to yourself, well, it's not a physical reality. Why can't I think and learning in the bathroom? So the answer is because then you're connecting to the Kedusha of the Torah the way it is. And the way the Torah is Kedusha. You cannot accept to be brought into, you can't do that. However, mitzvahs is not that way. In the bathroom, a person could technically fulfill a mitzvah. Right, a person could even think he brings down here. He says, let's say a person decides, I want to work on a mitzvah of halachta bedrachav. There's a mitzvah called halachta bedrachav, to follow in Hashem's ways and have good midos. And I want to think about the midos of Hashem so that I can follow those midos. You're allowed to think about that in the bathroom. You could think about the highest way to do a mitzvah. You're allowed to think about that in the bathroom. You know, the sheish mitzvahs tamidiyos.
You can calculate tzedakah in the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
You can plan mitzvot and different things in the bathroom. You can
do it. Right. Yeah. Halachically, you're allowed.
You get into halacha or whatever, and that's
That's the thing. Well, you're not allowed to think in learning. So if by thinking about the mitzvah, you're going to end up going into Torah, so you're not allowed to because you're not allowed to learn Torah in the bathroom.
Sometimes the Torah comes, you know, it's associated, right? It's
okay, like, yeah. That could be why his example was you're thinking about midos. You're thinking about the midos. What could I work on in my midos or whatever? Are you allowed to do the shisha mitzvahs tmidios in the bathroom? You know, the six constant mitzvahs that a person can do. Always, at any moment. They, you know, loving Hashem, fearing Hashem, having emunah on Hashem, not having a avodah zarah, not following Yirei Tahara. There's different mitzvahs that you could do all the time. You're allowed to do those in the bathroom. Kipshuter. The Mishnah Brura even has a shaila to this degree, is what happens if, when they were blowing shofar in shul, you were in the bathroom and you heard it in the bathroom. Do you fulfill the mitzvah of shofar? And he says, you are. That's what Mishnah Brura talks about this. Wow. Right? So you can fulfill technically the mitzvah of shofar in the bathroom. That means that mitzvahs, the kedusha of the mitzvah has taken on the sense of the physical world and became a little physicalized. But Torah, you can't think about Torah in the bathroom because when you're thinking about Torah, you're connecting to the other world. So you're connecting to the other world in its purest sense. You're not allowed to bring that into the bathroom. So now, by the way, this is a big kasha. If you see any big Talmid Chacham over the next, between now and Sunday, you could ask them the following question, okay? The question is that there's a Gemara, Chazal, that David HaMelech when he came into the merchatz to bathe, he wasn't wearing any clothing, and he can't think and learn. So he said he was very sad that he had no mitzvahs at that moment. He said, I have no mitzvahs at that moment. So then he said he remembered that he was carrying with him the bris milah, and he was happy because he had the bris milah. That's a gemara, the David HaMelech. So there was always a mitzvah he had. So the question is, why can't he do the shisha mitzvahs tmidias? Why can't he think about avas Hashem? Why can't he think about halachta b'drach? What happened to those things? According to this piece of Nefesh HaChaim, they're allowed to think about mitzvahs in the bathroom. So Chari should have been allowed to do that. So I don't have the answer to that. I just was speaking it over with Rabbi Provalsky, this question. And he said that he asked this question to Rabbi Yitzchak Sirotskin 10 years ago. One time, and he doesn't think he had a good answer. but he definitely remembered the question more than the answer. So that already tells, you know. But it's a pretty good question. Okay. So you can think about that question. But that the idea is that's the idea. Now, right. Yeah, correct. Right, there's mitzvahs exactly in tznius and other ways of how to use the bathroom also. Someone just pointed out. So now he says that's why. Now he goes into a little bit of a deep idea here where which gets involved in Shaar Gimel. And basically the introduction, the point basically being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, there is no differentiation between the bathroom, Kodesh HaKadoshim, or anywhere in between. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, everything's the same, right? There's no chiluk mekaymos when you're coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Kedusha, the chiluk mekaymos is only klape us, how we're supposed to behave, and it's disrespectful for us to behave that way. But it doesn't really exist klapei Hashem. This is one of the concepts in the third gate. I told you the Kabbalistic gate over there. So he basically goes on to say is that that's why when you're dealing with mitzvahs, so you got to deal with these chiluk, when
you can do it from the bathroom because for Hashem there's no difference between the bathroom.
Yeah, basically. But then, but in the term, but I'm just not sure exactly how he said it. I have to see that part better. I always have trouble with this part. We'll see it a little bit. But Kaponim, this is what's interesting over there is that he makes this another level of a distinction. Okay, he makes another level of a distinction between Torah and mitzvahs, and that is that the kedusha of the mitzvah became physicalized in this world. So it has no kedusha anymore, the lulav itself. You know, even tzitzis, you technically have no kedusha, right? The only thing which has kedusha is Torah.
But we activate some
kedusha. We activate a power and by using a physical item, we right, activate that force.
By activating them in the bathroom, it's not a problem.
Right. So so Tashmishe and Mitzvah have no Kedusha. They have no Kedusha whatsoever. The only things which have Kedusha, you tell me, what has Kedusha? So Tefillin, someone says here. Tefillin has Kedusha. Mezuzahs have Kedusha. Oh, you know why? Because Tefillin has it in a piece of Torah. Why does Mezuzah have Kedusha? It has it in a piece of Torah, so you have to bury it. Why does the Aron Kodesh have Kedusha? Because it held the same Torah. But the bag of the Lulav has no Kedusha. The bag of the Talis has no Kedusha. Or the bag of the Tefillin was holding Tefillin, which has it in the Torah, so the bag has Kedusha. Every Indian of Kedusha is only as much as it's related to a piece of Torah. Being related to mitzvahs does not give Kedusha. You're allowed to dispose of it differently. So this is what he's saying, is because Torah remains in its highest level of Kedusha, whereas mitzvahs became much more physicalized. All right, these are deep concepts, but very, very fundamental. All right, we'll pick it up again next week in Ritz Hashem. All right?
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. Have a great week, everyone. A good Shabbos. Shkoyach.
Okay, which was later?